Oh, that's right. It's Thursday afternoon, October 2nd. Hard to believe. Beautiful day out here. Do want to remind you that Greenwood football and Emerald football are being played tonight. Game will be, Emerald will be on WCRS tonight, starting around 6:30. Game kickoff is at 7. Greenwood High's kickoff is at 7:30. So they made the choice. I think it was a good one. We're talking about 80% chance of rain tomorrow with thunder showers. So thank goodness they were able to make that choice, but just did want you to know. But to date, I have one of my favorite groups of people here, although it's always changing. It still is a favorite group of people. We're going to be talking about the Soup Kitchen and the Empty Bowls Project. How could you not know about this project? It has just been growing by leaps and bounds. And, of course, we can actually look to the County Medical Alliance for getting involved in this program and really pushing it over the top. Jamie, you are here with us today, Jamie Terracetus, and how has it been to grow this program through the Greenwood County Medical Alliance?
It has been really exciting to see. The neat thing that I think about this project is how many different groups are involved in it. It's not something the Medical Alliance could have ever done alone. And so working together with Potters, with Interact Club at Emerald, with students at Lander, with people who are volunteers and on the board at the Soup Kitchen, it's the coordination between all those groups that really makes it happen.
Absolutely. And I think you were telling me before we went on the air that you used to have meetings and try to decide what to do. Now you just plan on doing empty bowls every year.
Yeah, we used to have a lot more activities, meetings, we paid dues and that kind of thing. And empty bowls is the one thing that has endured. It's easy to get people to sign up to help. And I sent out an email recently and said, okay, here it is again. I need 25 people to make dessert. And I just keep getting yes answers, so I don't have to call people up and twist their arms. I've got a lot of people who really believe in this project.
Absolutely. And it certainly has made a difference to the Soup Kitchen, to the food that you serve over there. Norm Fawcett, how are you doing today, the head of the Soup Kitchen over there? And you have 185 volunteers at the Soup Kitchen.
That's right. That keeps growing, too, as we get busier and busier and busier, Anna. I said to you earlier that I carry the title, but they do all the work. They're a wonderful, wonderful group of people.
You know, I mean, it would seem that you now serve meals 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday.
That's right. And Emmanuel Lutheran Church does Sunday. They give us the day off, but there is seven-day meal coverage in Greenwood. We do six, and they chip in and serve at the church on Sundays.
You know, it is amazing. How many meals or lunches do you serve every year? What was last year? What is this year looking like?
Last year we served close to 40,000
hot meals. Oh, come on. 40,000?
40,000 hot meals.
Yeah.
People just don't understand when I tell that number. I get frightened by that number, Anne, and, you know, I live it every day. But it's up from about 24,000 5 years ago when the economic situation hit Greenwood and other communities so hard in the U.S. And the numbers aren't dropping. That's what's confusing us. We went up fairly quickly from 24,000 to 35 to 40. And they're stabilizing now. At least it's not continuing to grow. But
doesn't seem like hunger should be something we should have here in the United States, does it?
Yeah.
But we do. But it doesn't seem like we should have something like that.
And it's not just on television. It's right here in Greenwood.
That's right. So now, just out of curiosity, you, of course, are at the United Center right there. How many people can you seat there at the Soup Kitchen?
At one sitting, we have every day 105 seats.
Mm-hmm.
We serve anywhere between 125 to 180 people a day. So we actually reset the tables.
Sure.
But
you guys are fast and efficient. I tell you what, I'm telling you what, they are on it over there at the Soup Kitchen.
Well, and the guests are cooperative too. They know there's people in line that are waiting, and they have a good meal. They fill their stomachs and they're on their way.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting to look back to the beginning of the Soup Kitchen, where they were at, what was the house that was in?
Before, we started at the Episcopal Church.
Right.
And then by after the library. That. And then Turner House.
Turner House, yes.
At First Presbyterian.
Never could serve the amount of people that you're able to serve over there.
Well, Resurrection, we could serve 50, and at Turner House, it was about 75, and now it's just over 100.
But more importantly,
we found a permanent home for us. We were at the churches by the good graces of the churches, but now we're at the United Center for Community Care, which the only reason that building is there is to look after the needy.
Absolutely, and it certainly makes a big, big difference for them to be able to go one place and get a whole lot of services.
And arguably, we're in the community, in the neighborhood, where there's probably
some of the biggest
some of the biggest need in Greenwood too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the program this year is, when is Empty Bowls?
It is next Thursday, October 9th. We have three sittings: 5:30, 6:30, and 7:15. The 5:30 and the 6:30 have been sold out for a number of weeks now. We have a handful of 7:15 tickets left. And because of our potters and our woodworkers and all the craftsmen that have been helping us out over the years and the new people that have come, we can virtually sell an unlimited number of takeout tickets. And so there are takeout tickets available, and the attraction, of course, is that you can still come in and pick your own bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And we serve you a takeout meal, virtually identical to the meal that the sit-down people have. But you take it home and you watch the NBC Nightly News, and you can even put your styrofoam cup of soup in your soup bowl that you've picked out at Empty Bowls. So the benefits of the takeout tickets are identical. We're just restricted with the number of people we can sit there.
That's right. So people can still buy takeout. I mean, you said you have 20-some tickets left for the 7:15, but you do have plentiful takeout tickets.
Yes.
Now, how do people go about getting tickets?
Well, the best way on short notice now, I've accumulated all the Chamber of Commerce helped us sell tickets this year, the Arts Council, but because there are so few tickets left, we've accumulated them on, so we don't sell more than we can sit. So you call me, Norm Fawcett, F-A-W-C-E-T-T, at 227-3421. That's my home number. Call anytime. And if it gets too close to rely on the U.S. Postal Service, we'll have the tickets waiting for you at the door to pick up next Thursday, October 9th.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Jamie, I'm going to bounce back over to you, and then we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got Beverly Burton here. She's a potter. And we've got a woodworker here with us this year, Tom Simpson, a good friend of mine who has shopped many times at Sharp Facets Gallery, and I appreciate your business very much, Tom. There you go. All right, now, but Jamie, how much money will be raised for the soup kitchen out of this?
Last year we were over $28,000, and we're hoping to beat that this year. So we have steadily increased. I think we started about six, maybe the first year.
About 6,000. We only sold tickets the first year,
right,
and then we.
The next year we just about doubled, and so we keep going up, and we're very happy to see that.
Absolutely.
The big thing that has happened is the increase in sponsorships.
That's right.
We smartened up after the first year and decided that we don't really want to just sell tickets.
Having sponsors is a good thing, and it's a good thing for sponsors, too.
We have about 55 sponsors this year.
Wow, that's terrific. Well, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors when we come back. We're going to be talking all about Empty Bowls. Some of our potter, we've got a potter here that's going to tell us a little bit of her story. We've got Tom Simpson. He's a gasp. Ha ha. And we'll be back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. I am right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. And, you know, I said that Tom was a gasp, but he's not. He's a claw. That's right. Tom Simpson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really fine, Ann.
Well, it's good to have you here. And, of course, you have done home repairs and remodeling and done all that kind of stuff. You're still doing stuff. Worked as a project manager for Habitat for Humanity. And what are you doing now?
Well, I finally retired, and my wife got interested in having a place in the country, and she wanted to keep me busy. So I have 16 acres and a couple of dogs and lots of trees and lots of things to do out in an old house in the country. I stay busy all the time.
Now, how did you get involved in woodworking?
My grandfather was a woodworker, and I used to go into his little wood shop, and I used to love to pump a bucket of water and take it in there with a sponge or a rag, and I'd wet the boards down so I could see the colors and the textures in the woods. I loved going in there and doing that. And he was a wood turner also, and he had a couple of bowls on his dresser, and I don't know whatever happened to those, but I was enamored with them. They one of them was made out of little teeny pine knots, red pine knots. It was absolutely beautiful. And when I got to be old enough to go into wood shop as in high school, it's one of the things I made were a couple of wooden bowls. And I got away from that and always wanted to go back and forth with it. And when I moved to Greenwood, I had enough room in the backyard to build a little wood shop and started woodworking again. And bought a lathe, and I'm pretty much a bowl maker.
You're a bowl maker.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I do a couple hundred of them a year.
200 a year?
Yeah, 150, 200 a year.
Okay.
Some of them end up in the gully because they don't turn out too terribly good, but some of them turn out right pretty.
Now, CLAW has how many members? Tell us a little bit about CLAW.
We, there were a bunch of us working for Habitat for Humanity 20-some years ago, and we got talking about woodworking, and decided to have a meeting, and we'd invite all our friends, start up a little club, and to share camaraderie and fellowship and woodworking techniques and maybe some share out wood and tools and our knowledge. And at the first meeting, we thought maybe 12 or 14 people would show up. 44 showed up at the first meeting.
Wow.
About 35 of them joined. And we've been going about 20 years now, and that's about how many members we have. Some pass on, some move away, some retire, and new people come, and old people slowly drift away. But we keep a steady number of about 35 or 40 people in the club.
Now, where do you meet?
We meet down at United Center for Community Care, and we meet the third Saturday of every month. We have a little business meeting in the morning, and then we have a program of some sort. We teach somebody, we'll come in and talk about wood or finishing or a special technique on a table saw or a bandsaw or a wood turning demonstration or how to make wooden pens or how to make a bowl or something of that nature.
That sounds great. Now, you all have done a lot of the work down there at the United Care Center.
We have. When Jack Parham got the idea to put this together many, many years ago, the school had been pretty much abandoned for quite a while and was in desperate need of repair. And they had some big volunteer groups came in there, and then the long-term set up to tear down, repairs to woodworking and baseboards and windows and to paint the rooms and repair the damaged flooring and things like that were done a lot by CLAW members. And for that, they provided us a shop space of about 1,200 square feet so we could make a little sawdust on weekends when we go down there. And we continue to do quite a bit of work for them.
Now, how long has the organization been involved in empty bowls?
We started, the potters started asking us the second year. And we talked it over and talked it over. And by the time we got it talked into ourselves into helping out, it was too late that first second year to help them. But since then, I think the first year we made 65 bowls, and the past 3 years we've done about 120 bowls a year. It's been real fun projects for the members.
Now, we have one of the bowls, the here, right here. And do we put soup in these?
You can. The finish on them is all food safe, but then you'd have to wash it. You have to hand wash them and be careful how they're dried, whatever. So we don't recommend using them for liquids, wooden bowls for liquids. But what they do is you go in and pick out a bowl, and then they have you a plastic bowl that you actually eat your soup out of, and you take the wooden bowl home and use it for decoration or to put nuts in or potato chips or whatever.
Or popcorn. Very good for popcorn. Well, you know, I think it's terrific. So how many people actually work on the bowls during the year for the soup kitchen? Everybody?
Woodworkers are pretty independent group. It's working with wood is like single combat. You're out there in your
single
wood chart
combat, okay.
All by your lonesome, and getting these guys to do anything is like herding cats. They don't want to get together and do anything. So, and they're all procrastinators. So we're always at the last minute. So you ask the guys what's going on, and they said, "Well, we need some wood. So long about May or June, we'll start getting some." Wood from the local woodcutters available, and we cut it up and make bowl blanks out of it, and then distribute it out to the members, and then they get, it's quite a long process. You have to rough turn the bowl, and then you have to dry it. Well, if you just let it air dry, it's going to take several months, and sometimes you can hasten that project. Put it in a microwave and slowly warm it up and let the steam come out of it.
Oh, come on. You can do it in the microwave now?
Yeah. You got to be really careful.
Little tricks you didn't think you'd know about on how to use your microwave. There you go.
Yeah, you put a chinaberry bowl in a microwave and leave it in there too long, and you'll end up with a microwave in your wood shop because your wife won't have that old one in her house anymore. You can dry one down pretty quick that way. Or soak it in alcohol, and it'll dry out in a couple of weeks. Then you finish turning it.
Is that where wood grain alcohol comes from?
No.
Sorry, I just had to pull that one in there. Sorry. But so you can use alcohol to dry them too?
Yeah. Use alcohol, denatured alcohol, and soak it in there for a couple of hours, and it'll take most of the moisture out of it, and then it'll dry out very quite quickly. Wow.
Does bourbon work?
Yeah, they probably would.
And it would add a nice color to it, too, wouldn't it?
And it would smell great.
Great, there you go.
Scotch would be just wonderful.
Okay. Well, we may have developed some new techniques for drying bowls here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, so we're going to have bowls there. You're going to have wooden bowls. Now, on this bowl project, everybody gets to pick whatever bowl they want when they go in. One of the things that always concerns me, because it seems I always have to go to the last seating, is I'm afraid all the good bowls will be gone. Is that true, Norm?
We learned very quickly in year number one that we have to be a little bit smarter about how we put the bowls out. Because if you put them all out at the same time, the good bowls go first. Duh.
Yeah.
You know. But we had to learn that. And in year two, and for the last 5 years, we have been taking actually individual potters, mm-hmm. individual claw members, and however many bowls. We divide them into a third, so it's not just a third of the bowls go out at 5:30, a third at 6:30. It's actually the crafts people themselves,
a
third of each craftsperson, and so yes, the people at 7:15 get the same choice. Of course, they're all unique; they're all individual.
Absolutely,
but they get the same choice as 5:30 and 6:30.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Beverly Burton. We're going to talk a little bit about how all these bowls got made. And I know that you're going to want to know Thursday, October 9th. That is when it is. Empty Bowls is going to happen. If you want to see about getting some tickets, it is the place to be. It is the social event of the year. 227-3421. Call Norm Fawcett. Let's join South Carolina Radio News in progress.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help. from McDonald's McCafé cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafé mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery.
This
we've got a table full of noisy people here this afternoon. Tom, okay. We're here with Tom Simpson, Tom Simpson, Jamie Terracitas, Beverly Burton, and of course Norm Foss with us here this afternoon. We're talking Empty Bowls. We're talking about the event, which is coming up October 9th, a week from today, and it's the 6th annual Empty Bowls Dinner. I tell you what, I understand that, Beverly, you were into pottery, you got out of pottery, and then you got back into pottery. How'd that come about?
Well, if you want to count from the time I was a child, I was a big mud pie maker.
Okay.
And I let them dry. That was probably my first pottery. And then when I was in college, I took some art classes and pottery classes, and then left it because I ended up majoring in something different, ended up as a licensed social worker and then an instructor at a college.
And then you came to Piedmont Tech?
Is this right? Yes. I've been an instructor in Piedmont Tech for 25 years. And while I was there, the pottery program came about, and I ended up taking some of the classes down in Edgefield with some friends of mine. We rode down together, got back into pottery again, finally found my way back around to it.
That's right. So I guess you really enjoy it.
Yes, I do. My grandmother was an artist, and that was my first exposure to it because I actually have her kiln that I use now in firing.
Oh, wow. How big is it? How big
is it? It's a smaller one, but we have I'm in a group of five potters. And we have four kilns, and that's sometimes we need smaller ones, sometimes we need bigger ones.
Now, where is your pottery barn at?
We're called Partners in Clay, and we have a studio over at Wyatt Farms.
That's a nice studio over there, and a great group of people that work over there doing this.
It is.
So you've been in pottery. You've been obsessed with it. Now, I saw something about I was obsessed with making miniature rooms of furniture with Play-Doh.
Yes. I moved from mud pies to Play-Doh. And there were a lot of kids in my family, and one of the things that you can make at home is your own Play-Doh.
Mm-hmm.
So we could always have Play-Doh. And I just was a nut about creating rooms of furniture, little miniature furniture. So I loved that for a long time, and now I'm playing mud all the time.
It's amazing that you didn't end up over in Claw then, since you like making furniture. Yeah, there you go. But now, what do you actually do at Piedmont Tech?
I'm the department head of a program in human services.
Human services.
And that is a program that has a variety of classes that prepares graduates to help entry level in the helping profession. And they might be in any of the places that you can imagine that help people, from nursing homes to shelters to child care to Bowers Rogers, any of the places that are involved in helping people. They take special classes that prepare them, like crisis intervention, group work, how to do counseling and interviewing with people.
Is that a two-year program?
All of our programs out there are two-year programs.
Mm-hmm. So you're ready to go to work when you've graduated from that program?
Right. Our students get jobs.
Yes.
And entry level. And so many of them go on to school and finish their degrees and sometimes their masters. So.
Absolutely. Well, it's not a program we hear a lot about out there at Piedmont Tech. You and I were talking about that off the air. It's not that much we hear about it. We hear about some of the others. So we're going to have you back and come on and tell us more about the program sometime.
Can't wait.
All right. That sounds great. Now, when you took this project on for making these bowls, and since it keeps getting upped on how many bowls you need, how did y'all decide how you would get all the bowls that you needed this year?
Well, the first year, we just made bowls, and I don't know how we determine a number. People just made bowls. And then over the years, we had to make a few more bowls. But I'm in a group called the Greenwood Area Studio Potters, GASP. And our members all are committed to making at least 10 to 15 bowls every year that we donate. And then we work with other groups. There are two colleges that are involved that also their students are making bowls. So we get a lot of bowls turned in. But we also did something this year called Bowl-O-Rama. We had three different times that we were at the museum, and people could come in and they could decorate bowls for $20. They would make that donation. All that money went right to the soup kitchen.
And they could either take their bowl with them, and some of them chose to leave their bowl. They just wanted to help in decorating.
Yeah, I would think last year what it was just Lander that was involved, and this year I understand Erskine is involved.
That's right. So, I've seen their bowls. They're beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, that's part of the fun of going to Empty Bowls is picking out your special bowl. That's what makes it so much fun, to pick out their special bowl. And I've got to give a shout out, Jamie, the Interact Club does such a great job of, in fact, you finish your bowl and they're like, would you like it washed?
Yes.
I mean, they are so on it.
We have been thrilled with the help of Emerald Interact Club. These kids are very enthusiastic, they're capable, and they come ready to work. And so they get there, we show them what to do, they clean people's bowls and bring them back to them, reset the tables for the next seating. And we cannot say enough good things about them. They have been wonderful, and they are helping us again this year.
Absolutely. It's just tremendous. But now, I mean, to grow the bowl program, and then you still, when you had those bowls at the Bowl-O-Rama, they still had to be fired, didn't they?
Oh, yes. They had to be fired, and then they had to be glazed and fired again. So there's a process of even making a bowl. It's not just overnight. And sometimes people think, well, I want a blue bowl made like this. Can I pick it up next week? It's just not that easy, because when you work with mud, it has to dry, just like the wood bowls do. It has a drying process. And then you have to do whatever you might want to do with some decorations or carvings with that bowl, trim in that bowl. And then when it's finally dry, it has its first firing. And after the first firing, then you go back and do the rest of your decorating or glazing that you want to do, and it's fired a second time. And even when it's fired that second time, because the temperature has to get so high, it's a good 2 days before you can open the kiln to get the bowl back out.
Wow. Yeah, so, you know, you just wonder, just think about how much does it cost to make a bowl then?
Well, it depends. Just the clay?
Well, I mean, just the and how much do you value your time? I mean, you know, if you really think about this, think about what an expensive donation that really is.
It depends on what you do to the bowl, whether you're going to put applique it, whether you're going to carve it, what kind of glaze techniques you're using, because all the glazes are fairly expensive. But they're different costs depending on what ingredients have to go in to make the glaze. It's like making a cake. And clay actually costs different amounts also, so it depends on the cost of the clay, the cost of the glaze, and how much time you put into it. It can be very expensive when you put all that together.
And yet y'all at least obligate for 10 to 15 bowls apiece.
Oh, absolutely. And some potters will make even more.
Sure. So when you think about the donation that is coming from the potters and from Claw over here with the bowls and the, you know, the amount of time that it takes to do this, how much would you say a bowl is cost? You know, we're paying $20 for these bowls, and we're getting soup, and it's all donated. But if you went to buy some of these bowls, what would be just a range of price?
I would, if it was an average bowl that didn't have a lot of carving and detail on it, but an average glazed bowl, it would be anywhere from $30 to $40 probably.
Well, so if we take 650 and multiply times 30, we have a huge donation by the potters here and Claw here. It's just phenomenal how many dollars. And, you know, sometimes I don't think we actually think about that. We think, oh, my God, we're paying $20 for a bowl. We don't think about all the time and effort that goes into it. So y'all are really to be commended for volunteering that and putting it to such a good use.
Yeah, we're very happy to do it. It's one of the things we're passionate about.
Absolutely. That is phenomenal. Now, you have added something else this year. Not only do we have wooden bowls, do we have pottery bowls, but what else do we have this year?
We have baskets, like bread baskets. I'm fortunate that a couple of my very close friends are in a basket guild. And we were talking, and they got to talk. We were talking about the soup kitchen because some of them come to the event, and they're always asking me about when are the tickets going to be ready. They want to be there to get them in time or me to get their tickets for them. And they got to thinking about how they could do baskets. And so it just evolved, and they have lots of baskets, 30 maybe, is that norm?
That's around the number I've been told.
Around 30 baskets made this year, and they're very excited about being part of it.
So does that mean, Norm, there'll be 10 at each sitting?
10 at each sitting.
I've got this system down. All right. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
And we'd also need another 600 bowls.
Well, I tell you what, we're right back here. We haven't even had the 6th annual one, and we're already planning the 7th annual one right here at this table. Yes, it's true. I've got Tom Simpson, Jamie Terracitas. We have Beverly Burton, and of course we have the one and only Norm Fawcett. You know, Norm, when you came down here to retire, that's exactly what you thought you were going to do, right?
Well, yeah, I definitely came down here to retire, but retirement in my mind was not fishing and playing golf all day. It was staying busy, but doing something that I was happy and comfortable and enjoyed doing, as opposed to something I had to do for 30 years in corporate life. So Roxy
but
and I
stayed
very busy.
But you took a lot of those same skills that you used in corporate life, right?
It helps.
Yeah, it helps, yeah.
But it's fun. Yeah. You know, you're not chasing the quarterly profits like you always are in corporate life. So Roxy and I stay very busy volunteering with the soup kitchen and other things in town. And we love Greenwood. And the good Lord has been good to us, and it's time to give back. And that's part of what retirement should be, in my mind, is giving back.
Well, you know, I think we have a great group of retirees that have come from other areas and embraced this community and got involved in so many ways, just like yourself.
Yeah, I'm not from around here. I don't know whether you could tell.
You ain't from around here? Okay, well, there you go. I thought that. But that's what I'm saying. So many people that come to this area and retire and get involved in our community. We really are very blessed here in Greenwood.
Wow.
That's true.
We're very blessed to be here. My son, my wife has a wooden sign, a handmade, I think, wooden sign, and they said, "I wasn't born in the South, but I got here as quick as I could."
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right. Well, we have a good time here in Greenwood, and Greenwood is a very giving community. You know, I just sat here and figured up how much costing out the bowls here, and it at $30 a bowl, that means the bowls cost $19,500. What a donation from both Claw and Gasp here.
We are so blessed. We are so blessed
you.
To have these people helping us.
Helping and making it happen. And, of course, once the Greenwood Medical Alliance got involved, I guess it was all over with, because you guys just really know how to merchandise, market, and get the word out there and get maybe twist a few arms to get people involved.
It was great. And the thing that we brought was some hands. And so we could volunteer that night. You know, we weren't doing all the bowls and that kind of thing. And a lot of people are really coming because they want to see those beautiful bowls.
Absolutely.
And so what we're doing also is helping them to get a meal while they're there and just bringing them in.
But you know, it's so many people, so many businesses have gotten involved. We're going to make $28,000 to $30,000 to fund about a third of what it costs us to run the soup kitchen, the cash cost every in a year, and I have written checks for expenses for $227. Everything is donated. The soup is donated by restaurants. All the printing.
What are some of the restaurants that are involved?
Sterling House, Chef Harl. There was a nice article that St. Clair Donahue did in the Index Journal yesterday. Chef Harl used to be over at Lander.
Mm-hmm.
He's now at Sterling House. He and his good wife, Nancy Goplerud, still at Lander, make 30 gallons of soup.
Wow.
15 each. Greenwood Country Club has been with us for 6 years. Howard's on Main have been with us for 6 years. Individuals, Pam Hundley, Mary Woodowis, and we've got some new corporate donors this year, Kickers, and Oh Charlie's, and I'm sure I'm missing some.
Sure.
Because Tracy Wright, our vice president of soup, is still working on it.
The vice president of soup! Okay, I like that.
These wonderful restaurants are donating close to 70 gallons of soup.
And it's all great soup. It's
people.
All great soup.
Wonderful soup. It's wonderful soup.
That's true.
Allegra, on Montague, did all the printing of our publicity posters and tickets.
And you went overboard. You went overboard this year. You had something special happen with the poster here this year.
And John, we had Linda Neely come with us, and who is a potter that had some wonderful creative artist talents. And John Holloway donated his time to do the.
There's the camera over there.
There you go.
Hi,
okay.
Mom.
Okay.
Hi, Mom.
Okay.
John Holloway donated his time to do the photography for the posters. So of $30,000, it's costing $226,000. It the community has just it's humbling what people have done to make this thing work.
Absolutely.
And there's virtually no cost.
Virtually no
except
cost
to these people.
Well, but I mean, you know, I think we don't think about the cost that puts into it. You know, we think, wow, it's great, you made a bowl, thank you. But you know, when you put it together with all the dollars that comes together, that's a huge contribution.
Huge contribution.
And I know they're all excited to do it, but you know, I think you're thinking that you might have some bowls left at the end. Now, Beverly, what are we doing with the bowls at the end? There'll be some opportunity to have some soup and buy some bowls
on Friday and Saturday from 10 to 2. There will be somebody at Howard's with bowls, and Howard is donating the soup, so you can come in, pick your bowl out for $20, eat a bowl of soup, and enjoy yourself. So if you miss Thursday night, you still have Friday and Saturday from 10 to 2 to come get a bowl of soup. And also at the end of the 7:15 seating, when that ends, if you feel like you want another bowl to take home with you, you can come in and pick out another bowl for $20 and take it home with you.
Wow. Now, but that's not all. That's not all on this prize-winning night that we have going on October 9th. We also have raffles and door prizes. Who's going to talk about those? Who can? Can you talk about those, Beverly?
Yeah, we have some wonderful items for raffle. You'll have to see them. They're all valued at over $200. And you can buy raffle tickets as you come in the door. We will be standing there, and you'll have to pass by us in order to get your bowl of soup. So it'll be your opportunity to get your raffle ticket.
That's the marketing.
That's the marketing in it. Yes, that's right. If you pass it by, they're going to just give you a look. You passed us by. There you go. But now, what are the type of things that will be in the raffle? Lauren Baczynski is making her famous bells.
Bells. And we have a variety of different things. It'll be a surprise.
Okay. All right.
It'll be a surprise to see.
So now, will you be doing a raffle at each seating?
We have changed that up over the years. What we do now is we used to have items and raffle them a little bit different way, but now we'll have one item and you'll know what seating it's raffled at.
Okay.
But you can purchase a ticket for any item and you don't have to be present to win. So when you see all the items, you can purchase raffle tickets for certain ones, certain seatings, and then it will be drawn at a particular seating.
Okay. So it'll
be out of the picture. So if you come at a later seating, you may have missed one of those earlier raffle items.
Okay. All right. That's great. Now, what about in the past? I know you've had some music. We're going to have music this year?
You didn't warn me of that question.
Well, I mean, we usually have music, yeah.
We are not.
We're not going to have music. Okay.
Ken Kittle. Is a wonderful talent. He plays in keyboard in Hack Bartley's band. He's volunteered at the soup kitchen for the past 7 or 8 years every Monday, and he is going to be out of town this week.
Oh my goodness!
Next week,
right?
So just coincidentally, and it's something that he shouldn't get out of. It's something he needs to do, and so we've actually decided not to have background music today, this year. The soup kitchen is a soup kitchen. It's a big concrete room.
Yeah,
it's
is.
It's decorated nicely, and our guests are made to feel welcome, but it's a big concrete room, not surprisingly. The acoustics are not good.
Yeah.
And when you try to get into three different rooms, the way our dining rooms are set up, the music, we have actually had some people say over the years that I find it hard to talk to the people at my table.
Okay.
So, because Ken
can't
be here, we're going to try a year without music and see how our guests
see what the feedback is that you get.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds great. So all these things will be going on, and it'll all be going on next Thursday, October 9th. Yes, you have to get your tickets. If you want tickets, there are a few left for the 7:15 seating. That telephone number, 227-3421. That's 227-3421. Yes, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. I tell you what, Norm, this has been a lot of fun. We seem to always do this every year, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
You've been a big supporter of not only with this interview in Empty Bowls, but I won't embarrass you with telling your listeners how you've helped the Soup Kitchen over the years. We very much appreciate what you do for us, Ann.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Norm. And it's always a pleasure to find out what's going on and to see this thing grow. You know, in a time where so much growth is not happening, it is amazing to see the people come together. And this is what I always say about Greenwood. Where there's a need, people always come together and make it happen. Jamie, I know that how many years have you been at the helm of this thing?
Oh, gosh. Well, with the Greenwood County Medical Alliance, five maybe.
Five maybe? And you enjoy it every year, don't you?
Yes. And I'm excited about this event. This is the highlight of our year.
Highlight of the year. Well, it certainly is, and it's a highlight for the Greenwood Soup Kitchen. So without further ado, I think we're going to say this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Thanks for coming out this afternoon, and have a fabulous time. We'll be there 7:15 with bells on, looking forward to find the best bowls. Thanks so much for coming, everybody. Bye-bye.